This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. I am Matt King.
And I'm Mike Sheffer.
And that's it. It's just you and me. We have no guest on this episode. This is like a special bonus audio exclusive.
For the OG fans, the people who were listening to us from the beginning before you got all blown up on YouTube and hit that algorithm.
Oh, yeah. And just having all those hot, hot guests. But these episodes, and I've said this before, are my favorite because this is like the real you and me. This is like us behind all the scenes and the conversations that we have.
Sipping on a drink, enjoying each other's company. We're both butt naked right now, so that's cool.
Yeah, this is the naked episode. You know, we couldn't put it out on YouTube because it would just, you know, ruin all of our sponsorships.
And I wouldn't want to have to sit there and blur our giblets for every scene.
So try not to visualize, but just know we are completely in the nude and drinking flavored margaritas.
Well, Matt's wearing bunny ears, but besides that, he's totally nude.
You promised you wouldn't mention the bunny ears, but I think the bunny ears really tie the whole outfit together.
Do you think people can tell that we're joking?
I'm pretty sure they can.
I wonder if someone is just like, whoa, okay, I didn't know that's how they roll.
Well, I don't know. I think people would have been a little bit more hooked and interested did in the episode if we hadn't told them that we really weren't naked.
I don't know if I'd want to put on a podcast on my way to work and be like, by the way, welcome back to the Joe Rogan Experience. Just so you know, me and Neil deGrasse Tyson are naked today, and let's go with the, like, I don't know if I'd want to listen to that.
I think I totally would. Do you think there's anybody out there with an OnlyFans that's just a purely audio naughty content creator,
like erotic storytelling?
Yeah,
probably.
But can't you just upload that like anywhere? Why would someone have to?
Well, it's because you're in the paywall.
I guess so, but they have to be really, really good at talking into your ear.
I wonder how big of an industry that is, like erotic audio. Like, where do you listen to that? Are you driving in the car, putting on a sexy story on the way to work in the morning?
Definitely.
Or is it like at nighttime before you go to bed?
I don't know, probably while you're doing laundry and just going about your daily chores. Anytime somebody does want to listen to a podcast, they can just pop on some erotica.
You're just getting all steamed up while you're folding clothes?
And nobody knows. Mm. You know, like you could see someone walking down the street just going, oh, I wonder if they're listening to, the new Lord album. And really, they're just listening to straight up erotica. I actually did see I would assume this woman was homeless, but like you couldn't kind of tell. I bet she kind of had a home, but maybe was a hoarder and just gets out of her house a lot because her home is like pretty crazy. It was that type of like crazy LA woman.
Yeah.
All respect though to mental health. But she was bumping on her stereo erotica, like an erotic novel, like an audio book.
Like more than 50 Shades of Grey, like straight up
yes.
Audio.
But it was probably like set in the 1800s and, you know.
Lord, lady, whatever.
Unbuttoned her blouse. In the pale moonlight. It was like that.
Do you know they have that at the library?
Of course. I mean, every library has those.
You can't rent videos like that at the library.
Certainly, but you can get the books. That's what's always like crazy, though. Like those romance novels are just straight up porn.
Remember when 50 Shades of Grey came out?
And everyone was reading it?
But it was like, I feel like a lot of people, it was one of those things that it was a very guilty pleasure where I would like see it on a girl's bookshelf, but it'd be like sandwiched between two other books and like there'd be a rubber band around it to be like, oh no, don't open that. Like no one's reading it. This is not, but everyone was reading it. But
everyone in their mothers
were
reading
it. But they were
it.
Trying to like hide it. It was like
guilty,
like, you don't want to be seen on the subway
reading
50 Shades of Grey. Like I bet you a lot of people changed the book jackets out and like put a different book jacket on it. But that book was basically straight up.
I felt like I saw it everywhere. But I did, maybe a lot of people were hiding their 50 Shades of Grey. You know that 50 Shades of Grey, though, is a fan fiction of Twilight?
Mm-hmm.
Like, have we talked about
this
before?
We got this wrong in a previous podcast.
Oh, did we?
We said that Twilight was a Harry Potter fan fiction, but really.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my bad.
It's okay.
I know that. No, Twilight
No, it's not.
Twilight
Fifty
isn't
Shades
a fan
of Grey. Is a Twilight fan fiction. You know the theory about how 9/11 created 50 Shades of Grey?
How?
So 9/11 occurred. Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance saw the towers collapse, decided to quit his job at whatever he was doing, start the band My Chemical Romance. My Chemical Romance inspired the author of Twilight to write the Twilight books. And then the author of 50 Shades of Grey was inspired by Twilight to write 50 Shades of Grey. And that is how 9/11 caused 50 Shades of Grey. It's like an internet like thing among, like, you'll see it. And that's why 9/11 caused 50 Shades of Grey.
I believe that. I think a lot of things wouldn't happen if it weren't for 9/11.
Yeah. But did you know that baggage fees on airlines was supposed to be a temporary measure that you were only supposed to do for like a certain amount of time, and then they were supposed to get back on their feet? But like when you go to check your bags and it costs like $50 to check your bag, didn't exist before 9/11.
Like all bags were free?
All bags were free.
Over one bag they at least charged
right? There was no such thing as you could check two, three bags. Like you didn't have to pay. I think it was
That doesn't make sense though, because planes need a certain amount of weight.
They need
to keep track of it.
It's all a scam. This is my big theory.
Did you hear that whole thing like why airplanes are not painted in different colors? Besides Spirit Airlines.
Like why they're not like blue and like purple?
It's because paint, the colored paint is heavier than lighter paint.
Yeah, I've heard that.
The magazines and stuff, they had to make them like in less dense of paper to save money and make planes more efficient and get there timely. Because heavier plane doesn't travel as fast as a lighter plane.
There was also some guy who discovered, I think with American Airlines, that if they served two olives in their martini instead of three, that they could save like, you know, $1 million a year in their first class cabin.
Are they serving up three olive martinis?
Well, they were apparently.
That's a heavy martini. Most martinis I've had have just been one olive.
But if you're in first class, that's when I feel like they do the heavy pours, the home pours, as I like to call it.
Okay.
Have you ever flown first class?
Yes. Yes.
And do you know, can you tell the difference between first class and business class?
There is a difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So my guess on first class and business class is that the first class is the one that have like the true pods and the service. Business class is that area right after first class that are just nicer seats.
Yeah.
Before you hit straight up coach.
It changes between airlines. And I think there's maybe one airline where business is actually better than first. But yeah, there is a like an actual tangible difference between business class and first class, which I didn't know. I flew in business class one time by accident. I just got called up to the front and they were like, Mr. Sheffer, we'd like to offer you business class for your flight home. And I was like, okay, no idea why. But yeah, there's even a first class, which it is the lay flat seats. I think that's what defines it to be first class.
Well, because the business class, wants you to kind of work while you're sitting there. They don't want you to be lounging and laying down and getting a full nap in.
Yeah. So first class is where you have the lie flat seats, which is that what you've been on a plane where you can lie completely flat?
Yes. I did that when I went to Fiji and it was awesome because like I went onto the plane, laid down, woke up, and we were landing in a few hours. In Dubai as well, I did it.
Yeah. That was good times.
Great times, man. And I always just love that they know your name when you're in first class.
They come up to you and they say, Mr. King.
You're not passenger 2A. Yeah, you're Mr. King. Mm. And like they really go above and beyond.
Does it make a difference, like sitting in first class? Like, do you actually feel more, or I guess less stressed when you land and
I'm not
more
like
refreshed?
A stressful flyer, but it just makes the flight go by a lot more quicker than it is when you're in coach. But I never pay for first class. Like Zane, Todd,
yeah,
Keith,
David,
they all, but like I'm a firm believer. Remember in elementary school, like the line leader, and everybody wanted to be the line leader. And when you're in first grade, kids throw fits with the teacher, and the teacher just goes, hey, we're all going to the same place. It doesn't matter. But I love knowing that I'm saving that much money
by not sitting
with someone who is spending so much money, and we're both going to the same place.
Like, you're spending $10,000 to be able to swing your elbows around a little more.
Yeah, your legs are going to feel a little less sore when we land because you were able to stretch out. I do always need to take the exit seat, though, for a man of my stature.
That's a fair play.
I wish they would take that into consideration. And I'm not trying to be like height elitist. And say that height people, taller people deserve benefits, but
I was gonna say, like, airline seats for me are just they're just like a little bit too small. They're pretty comfortable, but they're just slightly too small, and I'm not that tall. So I imagine anybody taller than me, regular airline seats are just, they're just not it.
Yeah, it depends where I'm flying. Like, I can't do LA to New York in coach without being like an exit seat. But I can suffer to Dallas. I can suffer LA to the middle of the country. I'm cool with it.
If you could just sit there, like, if you don't need to be using a laptop, like the times when you notice it is when you put the tray table down and you're trying to eat or like work on a laptop, then you're just like, all right, this is just not human size.
Oh my gosh, I just remembered.
What?
I'm paying $50 a month to American Airlines for their Wi-Fi membership.
Why?
Because I realized that Patricia and I were going to be flying a lot during, I don't know which month it was, recently, and that the amount of money I would save by buying the membership would be cheaper than me buying Wi-Fi every time I take a flight. So I bought the membership, but it won't let you cancel it on the app. They make you call American Airlines. And that already within itself is like, I don't have time to sit on the phone for 2 hours.
I'll give you a little hack about airline Wi-Fi. Whenever you see and you go on airline Wi-Fi, I think Delta started it, but now most of them have it. If you see T-Mobile, you know, it says like T-Mobile. If you have a T-Mobile number, you can get Wi-Fi for free.
Yes.
So you actually don't need to have a T-Mobile number. You just need to know someone who has a T-Mobile number. And if you just type in that phone number, you'll get the access because they just know that it's a T-Mobile number.
What?
Yeah. So like when, you know, people that I'm friends with are flying, they'll just type in my phone number and I'll get a text that says, congratulations, you're on free Wi-Fi, but their phone gets the Wi-Fi.
That better be true because you're a firm believer about the rewards memberships because everybody has the 8675309 number,
yeah,
which I don't think is true because every time I've gone to a Rite Aid or it's a 100% Walgreens,
true.
It never works.
No, I'm telling you. Okay. Well, let's double back on what you just said. The rewards thing that you're talking about is there was a song by I think Tommy Tutone in the 80s or the 90s.
8675309.
Like the song was a phone number. So on the internet a while back, someone realized that people were putting in whatever the area code is. If you're in New York, it's 212. If in Dallas, 512. And then you put 8675309. Anytime you want to go to a place that has like a, oh, enter your phone number, like a Walgreens or a Rite Aid or whatever, a ShopRite, whatever it may be, if you type in that phone number, there is an account with that reward. But what happened is a lot of people have signed up with it, so they'll ask you which name it is. Because usually there's like 7 different names, and they'll just ask you the name. You're like, oh, are you Steve? And you'll be like, oh, yeah, that might be the name. That's like the only difference of maybe why it didn't work for you is because they'll confirm your name, but you just say, yeah, whatever name it is. But if you ever go to a store, basically any major city in the U.S. I've done this at the Rite Aid here every time I go.
I was with you one time and it didn't work.
Maybe the system was down.
So for the folks listening, test out this theory and come back and let us know. I'm curious about the rewards that have
there's probably a lot of rewards.
Raked up on
whoever has that email address associated with the account probably has a bunch of rewards.
Yeah. Damn.
But the Delta Airlines thing about T-Mobile, the thing that I think they changed is that they now send a confirmation code to that number. But if you type in the confirmation code, then you get it. So like, for example, you're not on T-Mobile. If you fly next week, you put in my number, I'll get a ping to my phone. Thank you for joining. Your number is 55388. If you type that in on your phone, you'll have Wi-Fi for the flight.
But how can I contact you if I don't have Wi-Fi?
True. That's a little bit of an issue. Huh. Well, then maybe you got to make a friend who pays for the Wi-Fi and then you get two for the price of one.
How about you just book a flight with the plane next to me, open up your window, and then just like put it up?
Changing topics for a second, yes. Unless you want to keep going on this.
No, let's change it up.
The reason why we're doing an audio-only episode is because you recently moved into this beautiful new house.
We did.
The studio is not ready for filming just yet.
I know. We have our couch here. We have the table and the chair and the little corner thing, but all the pictures are off.
But we have recorded one guest that's coming out next week.
Oh, and it's a great episode, guys.
Should we hype it up? Say who it is?
Yeah, sure. Let's tell the people who it is.
Fibula on TikTok.
Connor Wood, great man.
What a funny guy.
Just met him through Cody Co. invited me to a brunch. We sat down and we realized we had a lot in common. And
he'll be coming out on the video podcast in about a week or two after this airs. And then we have another cool guest that we're filming, which will keep a surprise for you.
Ooh, yes. She's actually coming over tomorrow. I got to do a lot of research. But it's a guest who we have already interviewed before on Unfiltered.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the first
those time. Are always really good episodes because you're like, I want to just see Matt and this person go at it. And that's what's about to go down. But yes, we moved into the house. It's pretty close to our old house. And now we're like closer to David's house. But the one thing about this house, I'd say, is like it's very domestic. This is a family home.
I love it.
Happy. You feel really safe.
You feel like you've
come home from school and you need to sit down and do some homework and have dinner.
And there's privacy in this house.
You think so? I had so much privacy with my last room in that house.
You were basically within shouting distance of the kitchen. Right now, the kitchen, they could be having a full-blown party in there and we wouldn't know.
What I do love is that I have my own private bathroom. My bathroom, you can only access through my bedroom. But we've been piecing it together, buying furniture, moving TVs and stuff around, and just trying to get everybody on the same page about interior design.
And speaking of interior design, the reason I'm bringing this up is you have discovered a new holiday tradition that you've started your journey on.
Yes, I know that I've talked about this on Unfiltered, and I'm letting you guys know because they kind of quieted me up a little too fast on Unfiltered when I was bringing up my passion for Spooky Village.
But there's no time limit here, Matt.
Yeah, because that's like four people. We got to move on and touch a lot of topics. So as you guys know, or if you didn't know, last year I made a tiny Christmas village. It was something that I've always been wanting to do since I was a kid. And I did it. I made it. I fell in love with it. And I thought that was it. I'm just going to wait till next Christmas to bust those out, hunt down a few pieces. And then the other day, you and me walked into Michael's, which we can't figure out why we were in that Michael's, what we were doing there. And I saw the entire setup for the Lemax Spooky Village.
Which we didn't even know was a thing. Or maybe you knew it was a thing.
I did know it was a thing, but I knew it was very, very expensive. Because the thing is, tiny Christmas villages have been around a lot longer than Spooky Village. So a lot of stuff you get your hands on are from like the 90s or the 80s or 2000s, and they make them in mass production. Not everybody wants to create a Spooky Village in their house. So I then saw all the new ones out there.
And they had them on display, and they were operational at the Michael. So you could really, it wasn't just like the picture on the box. There was smoke coming out of one of them. There was like a haunted house.
There had witches flying around one of them. And so I thought, you know what, screw it. I need to splurge and buy and create this Spooky Village. But I could only buy like two because, guys, this is an expensive hobby. Your money can get drained through it. But, you know, it's all part of like falling in love with the season.
But you found a good deal.
Was it a good deal?
Well, I think so, right? Did you ever do the math on how many?
I did do the math, and I think it came out even to the amount of products. But the thing is, some of them right now are even getting higher and higher and higher in value because as we get closer to Halloween, a lot of people are buying them. But yeah, I found someone on eBay selling their whole lot for like $2,000. And I tried to go, can you do $1,000? And they're like $1,400. And they lived in San Diego.
And they were going to charge you a lot of money to ship it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Because it's going to be like another $1,000 to ship. And each one is super delicate. So I drove down there, made the deal, and I brought them all back. Some of them I'm planning on selling, though. I don't feel like they really fit the aesthetic. And I'm also really excited because I thought, like, I need more trick-or-treat houses. I realize I don't want, like, a town where monsters live. Uh-huh. I want a town where, like, it's just Halloween night, and then the imagination of the monsters are, like, up on the cliffs and stuff.
Are you going to get a projector?
Ooh, that's a good point. I definitely need like a little bit of a backdrop kind of a thing.
You could probably get like a cool like silhouette projector of some sort.
And we'll just spin.
It would be what?
We'll just play our episodes on top of it. I mean, that's scary enough.
No, but like I saw one on TikTok of a guy that like he was just projecting like a loop of ghosts and like spooky things as just silhouettes in the background.
You know what? I should do that. And I've been meaning on buying a projector because I now have this kind of blank wall near my bed. And have you seen people who put the projector in their room and play it on a blank wall and make it a window.
Yeah.
So which is like a little TikTok-y, choogy,
but also like kid it's, thing. And it's very, I think it's a very specific, like you can't do it during the day because then it's not going to look real at all. It's just going to look washed out. But at nighttime, that could be cool.
Yeah. So maybe I should do that. And that would be a good reason to get a projector. I want those like little portable
like projectors. A tote bag one?
Yeah, they're like they look like a little cube. They look like a little pod. It's not that full on size of a laptop bar. It's
right.
Like
you have to like mount to your ceiling and
you just tote it around and plug it in. So yeah, I might be buying that after. So now I've been buying styrofoam. I made 3 trips to like Home Depot over the past few days. I bought a hot wire styrofoam carver,
which you've become quite proficient in.
Mike came out and saw because you have to mold the styrofoam and make the bricks and make the cliffs. Mike thought I just bought it like that.
Yeah, the styrofoam board, which is the base, it like the front of it, it has these like brick imprints, and then on the side, it's all jagged and rocks. And I thought that you purchased it like that, but you use this like hot wire metal thing to actually carve out individual bricks across the entire like 8 feet of it, and then on the side it's all jagged rocks. So did you like look up a YouTube video on how to do that?
I did. There's like a whole YouTube community of people who make spooky villages, Christmas villages, all of that. And there's even like a Facebook group, the Lemax I Love Lemax Spooky Village thing. Yeah, shout out to Aiden Haunts on YouTube and TikTok, who has made some really amazing videos reviewing and showing how he makes his spooky village.
Do you think that Lemax is the company that makes all the
yes? There's Lemax and Department 56.
Oh, but is Lemax like the main one?
Or is Department 56? Lemax, I would say, is like the. How would I describe it? They're like the
gold standard.
The Mercedes.
And then what is it? Studio
Department
56?
56.
Oh, Department 56.
Department 56. What's better than a Mercedes?
Oh, they're even more. They're like the Aston Martin or whatever.
Yeah,
they're more expensive.
They're more expensive and more detailed.
Okay.
And
I was wondering like if Lemax has a warehouse or some sort of in-person studio where you can just go and see like the history of Lemax, like a Lemax museum.
I think there is.
I feel like that would be a fun place to go.
There's a place in Grapevine. All my friends and my mom was even there, sent me like a video of it, and they have like all the villages and stuff, but they mostly
but is it the Lemax place,
Department 56?
Oh,
but it's more of like a hobby Christmas store shop, and then they devote a back room with a full display selling all of it.
That would be such a fun place to go. And Grapevine, isn't that near where you're from?
Yeah.
Oh, so you can probably go when you're visiting.
Yeah, my friends John and Nick got me little figurines for my village.
Oh,
I know. That's what I need. I need a little bit. I need more like trick or treaters in my village. I think that's where I'm gonna run low. But man, I love it. I can't stop thinking about it. And I've been debating if I want the floor plan of the village, like the platform and stuff, to be flexible enough to be my Christmas village. Like,
I think it's probably better to
go from scratch and make a whole new one.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's
the experience.
Right. I know. That's the whole point.
But it's going to be a fast turnaround once that Halloween village goes down. Like, I already right now need to be shopping for my Christmas village stuff.
Because Halloween is what, the last week of October?
Yes. It's October 31st.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was October or November.
Well, speaking of October 31st, something really exciting for you is happening on October 31st. You won't even be celebrating Halloween with me.
Oh, yeah. This is pretty cool.
Do you want to announce it?
Yeah, I guess. I'll be playing drums for my roommate and friend, Adam Melcher, who's a musician and a fantastic person. He's playing shows all over the U.S. this summer, playing some venues that like I've seen some of my favorite bands at. He just sold out the L.A. show, I think. He sold out New York.
The Chuck E. Cheese.
But yeah,
he sold out the bowling alley.
I'll be playing. So his drummer, I think, doesn't have an American passport yet because he's from, I think, Brazil. So he is unable to leave the country to play shows. So there's a show in Vancouver and in Toronto. There might be one in Detroit or Indianapolis, too, that he might not be able to play. But
Indianapolis?
Possibly, yeah.
My mom's from there.
So I might be playing like 3 or 4 shows in October, playing drums for Adam Melcher on tour. And then maybe one in Mexico in December.
And you haven't played the drums live in a while, right?
It's been a while, but I have played quite a few times. My big, I think one of the biggest things I ever did was I played drums for Modest Yahoo one time. when I was in college in LA, the first time I ever came to LA.
Did I know that?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Wow. Is this when he was Modest Yahoo was like in his whole Orthodox Jew garb?
He still had the beard, he still had the everything. Yeah. And then also in college, I drove down to Six Flags from New Jersey. I drove down to Six Flags, Georgia, and we played a show opening for Natasha Bedingfield in like 2008.
Whoa.
Yeah, she was popping off
your
back then.
Your band opened up for them?
Yep, for Natasha Bedingfield.
Probably at her peak or what?
But like, she was playing a Six Flags, so I don't know if it was like before her peak or after. Like, I don't know what
her
year.
Her peak was around 2003 or
so
four.
Then it was, I mean, this was like 2008.
Oh, okay.
But so I've jammed with Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I've have some bona fides, but I haven't played drums live in a while. But like, it's one of those things, when you have it, you have it.
So now you have to learn all of Adam's songs?
On drums, yeah. I know them pretty well. Like, obviously I can sing them and I can, you know, I know how they go, but to actually sit behind the drums and be the guy who's playing them for every song, knowing where the changes are. I mean, me and Adam have played a couple times. I'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. We'll practice a couple times. But another exciting thing, speaking of Adam Melcher, is you may be directing his next music video.
Not directing, more kind of creative directing.
You will be credited as the director.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. So is this going to happen?
It seems likely. We'll know in the next week.
If it doesn't happen, don't laugh at us if it does. Actually, do laugh at us. Who cares? But yeah, Adam Melcher just put out this new song called What a Damn Shame that is so good. And I'd actually kind of listened to it through Mike and Adam leading up to it. And then I just had this concept that just hit me where I thought, like, this, do you see what I'm seeing when I'm hearing this?
Yeah.
Mike agreed. Adam agreed. So we wrote up a treatment, passed it along. But, you know, we're not a production team.
No.
I've never directed a music video before.
But that's what it's all about. Just trying stuff. It'll work out. Just believe in yourself.
I know. I'm a little nervous where it's like, what if it's not like cool enough? Like, what if I do end up becoming like a music video director and just my first one is a mess, but you know what? Who cares?
Just think positively. It's positive mental attitude.
It's good for the plot.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
The only thing is I probably won't be here when you guys film it, but it'll be okay because I'm going back to New Jersey. But back to villages, this is a question I did want to ask you is, so Halloween, we do, let's say, September through October 31st.
Yes.
Is there a Thanksgiving village world that people participate in, or is it just Halloween?
I mean, it's certainly, I don't think that there's cowboy and Indian miniatures and stuff like that.
It doesn't
that.
Seem like that's a, also that whole holiday is a little bit.
I think it straight up goes into Christmas mode. People have some like fall villages, kind of Thanksgiving ones, like that are like harvest and farms and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you just go straight into setting up the Christmas village because, by the time, like, you know, Christmas rolls around or like mid-Christmas, everyone's like going on vacation.
But like November too, November doesn't feel like, I guess September, October feel like fall. It's pumpkins, it's leaves, it's spooky. And then there's not really like a Thanksgiving season. It really just jumps right into Christmas season. Like November and December is just, you hear Frank Sinatra singing on the radio, Michael Bublé.
Yeah, that's all when people make those memes where it's like me on October 31st, like their wallpaper is of like a spooky thing, and then it's a Buddy the Elf on November 1st because people are immediately into Christmas mode. Mm. No one's like having like a pilgrim.
A Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that cool. Also, there's...
Did you in elementary school ever do like Thanksgiving? Did you ever dress up as pilgrims and Indians?
Maybe in like kindergarten when we were very, very, very young.
Oh, we definitely did that in kindergarten.
Where
and
you draw
a pilgrim
the
and I was pissed.
Why? Because
like the kids who were Native Americans got, you know,
the
war
face paint
and stuff. All the most stereotypical
cultural appropriation.
Oh yeah, they got like the feathered like headdresses. It looked cool. And the reason why was because I loved that movie Man of the House with Chevy Chase and Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Farrah Fawcett. You know that movie where Chevy Chase is like the new stepdad and Jonathan Taylor Thomas hates him. And
what's
so he makes him join Man of the House, not Man of the House with Tommy Lee Jones about the UT cheerleaders. There's Man of the House. And they always made Indian guides look cool in that movie. So I wanted to be an Indian, but I did not. gets picked. I was a pilgrim with a buckle on his hat.
Do you know the movie The Indian in the Cupboard?
Yes. How you know who's in Indian in the Cupboard?
Denzel Washington.
No. Campbell from Mad Men? Yeah.
Pete Campbell.
Is he like a kid? Is the brother.
He's like a kid, though, probably, yes. Right?
What's the kid's name in Indian in the Cupboard? Isn't it like a really great Jewish name?
I have no idea.
It's such a good name. I even texted you about it, and I think you were like,
there was also that movie, Jewish name. Half Court Miracle, that I still need to see about the Jewish basketball team.
We have to watch that. I don't even think Disney Plus has that uploaded on there. But
it's almost time to rewatch 8 Crazy Nights again, too.
It's a technical foul. I was the one who suggested, Mike, that we should sit down and watch 8 Crazy Nights because
you've never seen it.
No, I hadn't. And then
it's not like a classic or a masterpiece, but
Omri. Oh,
that's all you know.
Oh, that's your friend's name.
Yeah. That's the kid's name in The Indian in the Cupboard.
Yeah, it's Omri. O-M-R-I.
That's bananas.
Yeah. Damn, I want to watch Indian in the Cupboard.
What do you think Jonathan Taylor Thomas is up to right now?
I think he really stepped away from the spotlight. But have you watched I'll Be Home for Christmas with Jonathan Taylor Thomas? He has this weird voice, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And if you don't know who Jonathan Taylor Thomas is, he was one of the kids that was in Home Improvement with Tim Allen.
He was like a big 90s heartthrob. He was like a Mary-Kate and Ashley kind of.
Yeah, he was like a Walmart Leonardo DiCaprio. But Jonathan Taylor Thomas in I'll Be Home for Christmas with Jessica Biel. It's a terrible movie because Todd and I turned it on. And we thought it would be good. He has this weird voice that he puts on in it where it's like he's trying to sound cool. Like he doesn't sound like that young Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And then when Jonathan Taylor Thomas was like
going through 18 puberty?
Or 17 because he's supposed to be a college kid.
Oh, okay.
He has this voice that is so bizarre. For the folks listening, if you're interested, go and watch it and tell me Jonathan Taylor Thomas doesn't sound weird in I'll Be Home for Christmas.
I have never seen any Christmas movies. I haven't seen Elf.
You would love Elf.
I just feel a little like
Elf. I do think though it's a little overrated.
Do you like The Grinch with Jim Carrey?
Yes, I do.
I recently saw that and it was just like so bizarre. Like all the it looks like it's like almost a student film or something because all the sets are practical and like the handmade, all these little worlds and there's no CGI in it.
They made it out of styrofoam.
Yeah, and they filmed it in a way where you can kind of tell that it's all just like set pieces for whatever. It was just such a bizarre like.
I think that's like the only Dr. Seuss film. Oh, and then Cat in the Hat with Michael Myers is really good.
Michael Myers is the serial killer.
I was thinking of my favorite Christmas movie, but you don't like scary movies though at all.
Absolutely not.
But we finally got you to watch
Hereditary.
And did you like it?
I did, but because it is a film first and then it is a horror movie second, there's a lot of horror movies that are just like torture porn or
just sadistic,
scary, nightmares. And it's like, you know, life is already kind of scary enough. Why do I want to sit through 2 hours of someone being dismembered in a house up in the woods with like they're on their
I'd rather watch a comedy. Hereditary though is like here to stay. I don't think another besides The Shining, Hereditary was like the one movie in the horror world that's
when I haven't seen The Shining. I need to see that.
Oh yeah, and that's not even that scary, but it stays with you, but like in a good way.
And it's also Jack Nicholson, who I know is like, you know.
Yeah.
I still have that like fear of being a kid where it's like if I watch, you know, a horror movie about something that like it's going to be real in real life, like I'm going to be driving home and that person's going to get me.
Do not watch Insidious though. Insidious is like a bump in the night movie.
I don't need that.
That one I hate thinking about before I go to bed. It's the only movie I get scared.
Yeah, why do I want to make my life
scarier? But that's why I think you need to see Midsommar though.
I was thinking about this. I want to have seen Midsommar without having to watch it. Like, I want to know what happens in it, but I just don't want to have to sit through the 2.5 hours of nightmare that it apparently is. But it's like, again, it's Florence Pugh, it's Ari Aster.
It's all like in daylight. Like, there's nothing spooky that happens when it's
dark.
But
there's like that thing in the trailer with like the really like deformed looking like eyes.
Spoiler alert, or that you see that person probably for less than a minute in the movie. Okay. It's such a small, minor character.
I don't know. When I put on a movie, I want to be... This is Jerry Seinfeld's theory about like TV shows, is a successful TV show or a successful movie is if it's a world that the audience wants to be in. If you can build a good world, you'll have a successful movie.
Well, that's what Midsommar really hooks you in, because but like, it looks so beautiful.
My idea is like worlds, in the way that I'm thinking about this, is like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That world is great. Groundhog Day, that's a great world I want to live in. Back to the Future, it's a great world. I don't know that I want to live in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre world for 2 hours of, you know, I know what I'm saying?
I know what you're throwing down, but like, I think you got to roll with the season.
I guess. I mean, that's what I was just thinking for spooky season.
This is
season,
your one time, you got to start watching spooky movies.
A good way, I think, would be to watch like 70s horror movies where it's like a little bit hokey. It's not actually going to scare the crap out of me. It's not going to scar me. But like watching a 2018 horror movie where they have all these special effects and all these like psychological insanity might be too much for me. But like the other month when you put on The Exorcist and told me it was a romantic comedy.
Oh yeah.
Who did you say it was?
What?
There was like a famous actress. That's like
Bea Farrow.
No. But you told me it was a movie.
Did I tell you it was like a Woody Allen film?
Not Woody Allen, but someone else. It was like a Marilyn Monroe movie or something.
Oh,
you told me it was like some romantic comedy, and I watched it for like 30 minutes. Like, when is this gonna get funny? And it was the fucking Exorcist, and it was like it was cool to see the Exorcist because I've never seen it before, and to see how wild that must have been for someone in the 70s. I want to be in the year 2020 watching a horror movie in the 70s. I think I can deal with that.
I love, like, have you ever seen the footage of people walking out of the theaters in like the 70s when The Exorcist came out?
They're crying and they're screaming.
They are.
Yeah.
They just even stood in the lobby just filming people just walking out and getting their reaction.
Yeah, I don't need... Why would I want to subject myself to that kind of...
Because you're a grown man. Get a little spook. And yeah,
I would watch like Coraline or like something that has a little bit of lightheartedness. That's my vibe.
Why do you think we celebrate Halloween?
It's actually a pagan holiday, which was about celebrating the dead. I think there's definitely a religious history to it. Now it's just an Americanized holiday. But I remember like in Jewish school, they would send out flyers the week before Halloween saying like, here's the truth about Halloween. It's a pagan celebration, and if you celebrate this, you're like, you know,
anti-God.
Yeah, you're just betraying your Jewish whatever.
And
don't go trick-or-treating, don't dress up, like this is not what Jews should be doing. But I see it as an American holiday. It's not like we're doing it for the religious reasons.
And oh, that was like, for a friend of mine growing up, we had a murder mystery party when we were in middle school, like
yeah,
the sixth or seventh grade, and we were so excited about it, and he couldn't go because his dad thought it was just
too religious,
morally wrong, like for us to play murder. Like, we're literally just walking around being characters and reading a script and trying to figure out who did it, and then he couldn't come.
There was a lot of that culture left over in like the 90s and early 2000s from like their parents of the 50s and the 40s of like puritanical, you know, go to church on Sundays, be straight laced. That sort of was like a little bit left over from our parents, and now I think the next generation is just like, who gives a shit, let's just have fun, it doesn't matter, none of this stuff is like gonna really change
anything.
Did
you dress up as anything for Halloween when
every year? Yeah,
what was your favorite costume?
It's a great question, Matt. I can't really remember a favorite, but I know that one of like I have a visceral memory of going to the Halloween stores, Party City, and just every year,
your like, parents like got to make up your mind. You're like stressed out.
Well, I just remember the like when you would try on the different rubber masks, just the smell of the inside
the
of that rubber,
and
then you're breathing, and it just gets all hot and like steamy, and that's just like a memory I'll
and
always
they always
have.
The photos at Party City of the costumes where they had that huge gallery
the
wall,
wall
and you
yes
had to pick it, and then a guy would go into the back and bring it out to you in this little plastic
and
bag,
it was just garbage,
and you had to go like into those like closets and change and with all these other kids around you, and then you would look in the mirror and it just wasn't as good, and
never
then you'd have to send it back
because they'd have like a 25-year-old model modeling it, and you're like 9 years old, like draped in, and the, you know, they would have the boots that weren't included, but so you're missing the boots.
And I feel like though, as we got older, like all the superhero costumes all of a sudden got like padding for muscles,
so much better.
But we didn't have those.
No,
like, if you wanted to be Batman,
yeah,
it was just you were as skinny as it could get. And then suddenly, as we got older, you would see these other kids.
They have like padding in it. Like the Hulk has the six pack. Yeah, the costumes were just, it was like polyester prints that were like sewn all fucked up and
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They were just like PJs.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just freezing cold and then you had to wear a coat and then you couldn't see the freaking costume you were wearing. I was Scream a lot. Scream.
Oh, the character?
But I wasn't allowed to see the movie, but I just thought it was a great costume. But then nobody knew it was you all night.
Yeah, that's what I realized is like I always liked costumes that you didn't need to wear a mask for. So because wearing the mask was always, first of all, you can't see anything. Second of all, it smells bad. Third of all, who fucking cares? Just get, we want the candy. I like going trick-or-treating, by the way. Great sales training for cold calling when as you get older, because you got to knock on a stranger's door. You got to ask them, say hello. You got to introduce yourself. I think trick-or-treating is like a great life foundational skill to be able to do.
Yeah.
Because some people are mean and they're, you know, the angry old guy that slams the door in your face. And you just got to accept, hey, some people are just going to be dicks to you. You know, it's, I think it's good life training to go trick-or-treating.
Did you trick-or-treat in your neighborhood or did you go to another neighborhood to go trick-or-treating?
Always in my. Why would you go to another neighborhood?
Because they were wealthier and they gave better candy.
Oh, you would party hop over to a different.
Yes. Well, I felt like towards as a kid, you weren't really like paying attention that much. Like your parents would literally walk you down the street, and that was it. And you went trick or treating. And then as you got older, you're like, we need to cover an entire neighborhood. And there were these newer developments with much younger families who just celebrated Halloween better. And I felt like in our neighborhood. Were just old homes. All the kids had left and stuff. All the houses were built like in the early 80s and it was just, I don't know, the spirit was dying in the neighborhood. So we would go to another neighborhood with these massive houses.
And they would like, the lawns would have graveyards in the front.
They would give you a full on chocolate bar.
Oh, not just the little one bite one?
No. Yeah. They would give you like, so you were stacked.
The best.
Oh, man.
And also I loved seeing like all the ways that people decorate the front of their houses with like, skeletons that pop up out of a coffin, or there'd be like sound effects that come or lighting effects, and just to see like what is normally just your neighborhood transformed into
setup. We had like a front porch at our first house, and then we would black out the front porch with like tarp, and so then when people walked up to the door, then you had to turn left and go down the porch, and we would like make
we should
that
drive
a whole
around this year and just
see. Toluca Lake, dude. Yeah. That neighborhood, that one with the circle drive, every single house goes above and beyond for Halloween.
Remember we went to that thing with Jason last year, the drive-through?
Oh, the Halloween? Knights of Jack.
Yeah. Was that already a year ago?
Just about. It was getting pretty close to Halloween.
Oh, my goodness. That was...
Oh, my gosh.
Cool. Yeah. It was cool.
And I was in that dragon costume. But see, Jason thought it was going to be a haunted... like drive-through. Like, he thought people were to be scaring us, but it was just, like,
artistic
setups. Pumpkins. Yeah. It was just like carvings of pumpkins.
Yeah. Like, it was cool though.
It was pretty cool.
I like the spirit of things. I think that's important for like a culture and society to have traditions and like, you know, myths and things.
But I don't get why Pete, if you should not be carving a pumpkin until 3 days leading up to Halloween. I don't get why people are carving pumpkins in the beginning of October. That pumpkin is not going to see Halloween
Day.
Aren't
there ways to like
preserve a pumpkin?
Yeah, like if you like spray it with lemon juice, or I'm sure there's going to be so many TikToks about here's a pumpkin hack that you didn't know, and all these things that are just going to like revolutionize the pumpkin industry this year.
Pumpkin hacks.
Pumpkin. I hate
the smell of pumpkins. Like,
really?
Like when someone opens up a pumpkin and they're carving it, it makes me want to vomit.
Because of a specific memory, you just never like that
smell. I don't
like
that smell. I like this taste of like pumpkin flavored stuff, but the smell of a pumpkin, dude, is like vomit to me.
Interesting.
It's like papaya. You know people who like...
Yeah, I think it smells like a nice like fruity fruit.
Google the comparison to papaya and vomit, and it is this similar enzyme to what's in like bile.
I don't know how true this is, but I think I've heard that pumpkin spice, like pumpkin spice lattes, nothing to do with the actual flavor of a pumpkin. Pumpkin spice is a type of spice that you're supposed to put on pumpkin to make it taste better.
Pumpkin seeds or...
No. It's like a totally different thing.
Oh.
Like pumpkin spice would be like, for example, it would be calling like salt tequila spice. Right? So like salt is its own thing. But if I'm calling it tequila spice because you put salt around the rim, it's like salt is not anything to do with tequila. Salt right. is its own thing. So pumpkin spice is like salt to tequila.
It's like not, pasta sauce. Like the pasta is not in the sauce. You right. put the sauce on the pasta.
Right. So I believe that pumpkin spice is not derived from pumpkins, not made from pumpkins, not tasting like pumpkins. It's the spice that you're supposed to put on a pumpkin pie or on pumpkin when you're eating it.
I feel bad for people who have to grow pumpkins. Imagine being married to a pumpkin, like
I don't know. It's kind farmer. Of a nice seasonal business.
I guess so, but
once
like,
a year, can we just grow
a crop that like is in high demand and like we need?
I don't know. Like
pumpkins, Bill. Pumpkins.
Yes, honey. This is our business. We support the town, and that would be a funny like.
We should go to a pumpkin contest.
Participate in one or like watch a series. Go
out far out wherever like the 4-H clubs are having their the largest pumpkin.
What's 4-H club?
4-H clubs, isn't that like the group a lot of farmers in small towns all get together for the 4-H club?
Maybe.
It's like a farmer rotary club kind of thing.
Oh, I don't know.
I may be totally wrong on that, but
I'm very down to get very seasonal this year.
I want to see a big pumpkin.
This feels like the year to just take it all back. Go and see everything. Get in the spirit.
Yeah. We had that invite for the Halloween Horror Nights, but we're going to be in Italy. Did you see that?
Is that when we're in Italy?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I know. Bummer. It was like the influencer night.
Hmm.
But, dude, have you been to Halloween Horror Nights?
No. What is it?
That's like the haunted houses that Universal Studios does.
Oh.
And their costumes, their decorations, because all of it's from the studios. So it's the most realistic looking stuff ever. And it is terrifying.
I would, you know, what we can do is go to a like haunted hayride, Halloween, whatever, like at Universal. Like, you know, they used to do it in Six Flags. What do they call it? Halloween nights?
Haunted hayride?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I love a haunted hayride. Did I ever tell you my haunted hayride story?
No.
Okay, so I've said this on Unfiltered, so sorry for the folks if I'm repeating it.
One time I went
on a haunted hayride, man, and we went through these cornfields and stuff. This is far out in Texas, and it was terrifying. You know, these guys chase you with chainsaws.
Mm-hmm.
They then grabbed a girl on the hayride and threw her off the hayride. And we're driving away, and then they take an axe and they cut off her leg.
And you think she's part of tour?
She was an actor, but she joined in, and they planned it.
But you think that she's just like part of the tour with you?
And the moment that happened, oh, I went insane.
You were like, guys, this is real. We have to go.
Real. Shook me the fuck up, Mike. And still to this day.
Who are you with?
I'm pretty sure I was with like my family and like family friends or something like that.
But did you start like having a Matt King panic attack?
Yes. Like it's like, and my parents were like laughing, like, oh no. It's like, I'm like, oh, you guys aren't listening. Scared me.
Well,
dude.
We should get into the spirit this season. I'm very
definitely
down.
And that should start by you watching Midsommar.
Do you want to watch it with me or?
Yes, of course.
Have you seen it too many times?
No, I've only seen it 2 or 3 times.
Okay.
I'd watch it. I like watching you watch a good film, though.
Okay. That's appreciated.
I wouldn't recommend a bad film for
no,
you to watch.
No, I know. You know? I should see a Florence Pugh film, too. I haven't seen anything that she's been
phenomenal.
In.
I mean, this was like her big break.
Yeah. Okay.
She's here to stay.
Well, that about wraps it up for us here at Hoot and Half today.
This was really, really fun.
We could knock one of these out. Maybe a bonus episode every week.
Yeah. Just audio. Just chilling.
For the OGs.
Because I like this because I can just curl up in whatever weird contortion of my body I want to.
Yeah. And you don't have to put on clothes.
Yeah. Oh, and then I have to do Unfiltered tonight right after this.
That's good. You know, you're in a good headspace.
Snappy mood. I'm going to go work on my Halloween village right now.
If you haven't already, check out Hoot and Half on YouTube if you didn't know that was a thing by now.
And go comment on my last picture on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Go comment on Matt's new posts and see what your favorite thing is in the pile. All right. We'll see you next time, folks.
Bye, guys.